before we continue our conversation on pricing for water harvesting systems, let's go run through a handful of texts we've received this morning. First one, as a condo owner, is there anything I can do for water harvesting?
Well, you know, there's the shower thing, the shower bucket thing that Rosie mentioned earlier. You know, you can always collect whatever water's running off of your roof. You know, the thing you have to be careful with roof water, though, is what's your roof made of? If it's made out of asphalt, I wouldn't use it on any groceries. You know, I wouldn't use it on your garden.
Back to your mesquites and your ironwoods.
Exactly.
And
you know, and your landscape. Yeah. You know, whatever you got growing in your landscape that you wouldn't eat.
Very good. And I think this person must have missed what we're talking about. They want to know about using the commode for gray water. That's
black water.
That's black water. We don't reharvest or repurpose any black water.
Well, you know, we could go into composting toilets one of these days. Here's a quick one for you. There's a book out there called Humanure.
I'll leave it at that. Next
there you
question.
Go.
Well, that's what they do in Milwaukee.
I know.
What's the first
Milorganite?
What is it?
Milorganite.
Milorganite.
Yeah, something like that.
The Milwaukee Water Reclamation Department makes fertilizer.
Yeah.
And sells it all over the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We bought a bag once.
And we'll leave it at that.
What about, and then somebody wanted to know, is there anything they can do for pool water? We had hit that briefly when you're either backwashing the filter or the pool itself.
So there's multiple different kinds of pool water. There's salt, you know, they have salt water pools, which you don't want to use in your yard. Then, you know, there's the chlorine. But what happens over time in both these instances, you keep adding water and it keeps evaporating and it leaves the salts behind. So it becomes highly salty. You know, there's not a lot you can do with the pool water.
All right, now let's get back into pricing. How did you go from $1,500 on your first system to $80 on your second?
Perfect. So the tank is a 4-foot diameter culvert, like they go underneath the road. And so we bought a 7-foot length of, or an 8-foot length of culvert and stood it up on its end, poured concrete in the bottom of it, and, you know, plumbed it through the ground underneath. And, you know, that's my rainwater harvesting tank. And that was, it cost about $1,500 about in 2004.
Metal price is probably a little higher now.
Yeah, exactly. So it probably cost you a little bit more. And again, that didn't, we did a class at the Urban Farm in 2004, so the labor was free. Those tanks generally cost about $2,500.
You, Tom Sawyer, you.
I know. Well, here's the deal. I figured if I'm going to put something in at the Urban Farm, I might as well teach it and have people come in and help me do it. It's free labor, you know?
I love it.
So and then the rainwater harvesting tank on the south side of the Urban Farm, it's basically a scupper, runs the water down the side of the house and a pipe and runs it into a pipe about 30 feet out into the yard. So the cost on that one was the scupper, which was $35, and whatever the difference is in, you know, in black 3-inch piping. And the big thing you have to know about running water is you have to run it, and you probably know this, Rosie, it has to slope. The pipes have to slope. So 1/4 inch per foot so that the water runs. So when I was running, you know, when you're running it away from the house, you just need to make sure the pipe is sloping so the water runs away.
Now, Greg, is the end of that pipe, are you pivoting that where occasionally during a rain you're having to actually get out and move it, or do you manage that just at the distribution point allowing for different grades of drain canals?
Great. So you actually asked a couple of questions there. First of all, this is a great way to do it. You don't have to bury the pipe. And, you know, those swimming pool filter pipes you can put on the end of your scupper, the downspout, and you know you can put that wherever you want to in your yard. That's the simplest way to do it. What I did with this one that was $80, I actually buried the pipe, and the pipe goes into an underground air tank with no bottom in it. And this is a little bit of a hard concept for people to get, but what we want to do is we want to dump that water coming off of your roof or out of your gray water system into an underground space that's air. And the big reason to do that is because roots generally don't grow up in air.
Got it.
So if you dead end a pipe in a tank in the ground, again, it's when I say tank, it's It's basically a 5-gallon bucket or a 50-gallon bucket that we cut the bottom off of so that the water falls, the rainwater or gray water falls into that space, drops 3 to 8 inches onto the ground, and then immediately percolates in. It will never... Mm-hmm. Now, I don't like to say never, but it will never clog with roots.
Well, there's just one question in there.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing you now, as I'm getting to know you, the actual burying of the pipe, was that another learning moment for your students?
Well, yeah, actually.
I thought the same thing.
Actually, on that one,
you know, Greg Peterson's mama didn't raise no fool.
I'll take it. And my mama is brilliant. So on that one, I actually had a volunteer that was working at the house. They call them woofers. The woofing program is an international program, generally stands for willing workers on organic farms. And for room and board, they work on the farm. So I've had woofers over the past 15 years at the urban farm. And a young lady came, and when I have these volunteers come in, I always ask them to do a signature product that I can remember them by. And that was her project.
Nice.
Yeah.
She.
Free labor. Well, almost free labor.
Now, you had mentioned this is not on your dispersing.
Mm-hmm.
It's out in an air pocket. And uh-huh. This is kind of something you call harvesting versus directing.
Yeah. So, and we touched on that a little bit earlier, but for me, rainwater harvesting, and this took me a long time. I learned about rainwater harvesting in 91 in my permaculture design course. And I always thought collecting rainwater had to be held in something. Put it in a tank, store it for later. I call that water harvesting. I like to call water directing, where you actually design your landscape so that the water, when it's coming, goes to your landscape and waters what you have to water.
Water directing.
Yeah.
Now, this takes a lot of thought.
Yeah.
And a lot of planning and
right.
a lot of design. Not to say that you couldn't retrofit it, but if you're starting from scratch, you've got a really good opportunity to make a smart design.
Yeah, and that's where you have to think whole system design. You have to think about your whole space. Stand back and look how everything's going to interact. And on water harvesting systems, and I love this quote by Art Ludwig. He wrote a book called Creating an Oasis with Gray Water. It is the book on gray water. And his quote out of his book is the one universally applicable principle for all water harvesting systems is there is no universally applicable principle. That's why water harvesting systems are hard to manufacture and sell, because each space is different. So you have to kind of stand back, look at your space, and see what's going to work in your space. And I highly suggest there's two books that are, if you want to do water harvesting, there's two books that are absolute must-haves, and that's Creating an Oasis with Gray Water by Art Ludwig and Rainwater Harvesting for Drylands and Beyond by Brad Lancaster. And those two books will teach you how to do rainwater and gray water harvesting systems at your house.
Very cool. And when you're looking at all of this and putting it together in your rain harvesting, I mean, this is still only one component. We go back to the two other types of water harvesting you
right.
mentioned, storm harvesting and gray water. This is just one component we're talking about.
Well, right. And when you're standing back and designing the system, you want to take in your condensate water, your evaporative water. You want to take into consideration your gray water and how can you get the gray water out into your yard? Because there's two ways to get gray water out into your yard. You can move the facilities out to the yard, like I did with the sink and the outdoor shower, or you can actually repipe your house, much more difficult. And I have one bathroom at my house that has been replumbed so that the bathroom sink goes out into the yard. Now, what I did underneath that bathroom sink is I put a Jandy valve. Those are one of those pool valves that, you know, it's basically a lever that you push it one direction. That's going to push the water down the drain out into the sewer system. You push the valve the other direction, that's going to push water out into your yard. So, you know, again, considerations for rainwater and gray water harvesting.
Now, you're one of those lucky individuals that lives in a neighborhood that gets flood irrigation.
I am.
So how, I know this would probably be nearly impossible to track, but what percentage of water harvesting versus flood irrigation does the urban farm use?
Well, I have an outdoor shower. I have an outdoor kitchen. I have two different traditional rainwater harvesting systems in place. And then I have my bathroom that has been plumbed from inside to out. And, you know, it's hard to say, but those are the systems that I have in place. And, you know, if I could put in more, unfortunately, my laundry room is right in the middle of the house. So, you know, that's jackhammering up the floor.
That goes back to your return on investment. You'd never see that money back.
Exactly. You know, while we're on that topic, let's talk about that return on investment. And I really highly suggest that people take into consideration how much money they're investing into a system and what the payback is. Now, in the case of Barbara down in Tucson, you know, her return on investment has to be calculated with what happens when my well runs dry. It's highly unlikely that my well is going to run dry here in Phoenix. I mean, if I turn on the tap one day and there's no water, we're all in trouble, right? So looking at your return on an investment, it's a really, really simple calculation. Basically, what you do is you take the cost of the infrastructure. So in my case, it was the tank, which was $1,400, and water savings per year. I figured that rainwater harvesting tank would save me about 50 bucks a year. So if we take and divide 50 bucks into $1,400, it comes up with 28 years.
Hey, you said you've been in Arizona 50. There's a payoff.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, you know, when you're doing solar systems, when you're doing these kind of infrastructure things, you really want to look at that. And then that way you at least have a piece of data. And what I've heard is that a good return on investment for infrastructure like this is 9 years.
Well, that's not bad.
No, not at all.
Especially when you calculate in the fact of all the water that's not being used. I mean, you multiply that by 100 people. You multiply that by 1,000 people. You multiply that by the population of Arizona. Mm-hmm. That's some serious water.
Mm-hmm.
So that chainsaw you hear in the background is here on site. You don't have to worry about someone outside your door in a mask.
Oh, that was bad.
They're kind of like Harley Davidson riders. They just like to sit there and throttle it.
Yeah.
And I don't. The chainsaw competition doesn't start for 2 hours still, and over there revving their engine. So don't worry. That sound is here. We'll do our best to keep it minimized and have a quality broadcast for you. It's the Outdoor Living Hour with Urban Farmer Greg Peterson, 1-888-767-4348.